Coming up on the Branding Deep Dive podcast.
The most important thing is identifying, you know, who is your ideal client, and is that guy somebody who would hire you, or does he have access to lots of people who would hire you? So is he specifically have a network of people that would be interested in hiring you? And did you make it very clear? So like, I would take that content, chop it into shorts and say things like, in this episode with insert famous person's name, we talked about how branded content can drive revenue and create strategic relationships. You know, if you'd like to talk about how that could be beneficial for your business, hit me up. Like, it should, your CTA should always lead back to you. It should be very intuitive at the end of that episode that people know that, hey, I didn't realize I can hire you and you can do this work for me. So everything needs to kind of lead in that direction.
This is Ahmed Shima, and welcome to the Branding Deep Dive podcast. If you're new here, this is a podcast where we have in-depth discussions with founders, marketers, and brand strategists on how to build a brand that people love. Today, we're talking to Molly Rowland. Molly is the CEO and founder of Heartcast Media, which is a digital content agency focused on creating branded content that drives revenue and creates strategic partnerships. She's an expert in the podcasting space, and I really use the entire time on this podcast to turn this into a consultation for my own podcast. In this episode, we dive deep into how to monetize your content, properly placing call to actions in your content, different tools to make the content creation process easier, and much, much more. If you don't know where to start in the content creation journey, or you're looking to monetize your content, this episode is a must listen. Now, here's Molly. At the back of everyone's mind, no matter like whether they're doing YouTube, whether they're doing blogs, it's like, you know, people can say that they're just doing it just because they love the art and the craft of it. But at the back of everyone's mind is like, you know, there's a possibility of making money off this stuff. Right. And so, I mean, I started the same way, right? Like, the podcast was really just so I could like learn. I was into marketing, and I just found like I was into marketing and branding and really just curious about this stuff. And I found that with my daytime job, like, I wasn't able to really learn. And so for me, it was just a mechanism to keep me engaged and keep me learning. But now it's like, okay, like, it's been going on for a while. Like, do I want to keep this going? Some of the episodes, I'll be completely honest with you, it just feels like it's the same thing that's like kind of repeated, concepts that like in the beginning, I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And I was like, oh, I think I got this concept. And so now it's like, okay, like, what's the next level? Like, how do I actually like level up? I'm willing to get into like my download numbers and everything, but yeah, like for someone like me, right? Like my podcast, if you're to work with someone like me, like how do you think through, you know, the monetization process, right? And like, how do you think through like, okay, how do we take a client that has a podcast or wants to start content, from zero to, you know, monetization, whatever that looks like.
For sure. So I think podcasts are kind of like friends, right? Like, sometimes it's just an outlet for you to express yourself. Sometimes it's a business development tool. It's a mentor. It's a mastermind you're going to. A lot of people, I've been going on a lot of podcasts lately, and people are like, you know, I'm selfishly going to ask you a whole bunch of questions about my podcast. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's do this. So there's a lot of value. You can learn a lot from your guests. There's a lot of value, right? Like you said, learning some branding, some marketing, creating content, SEO, all that. But when you get into like monetization of a podcast, I think people get a little bit confused because they associate it strictly to download numbers. And I think that the monetization actually is based on the relationships that you're building through the podcast. So I always challenge people to look at the podcast as something to literally forge relationships with. So instead of worrying about the audience, focus more on the guest. And so a lot of times people lean into talking to industry experts about things that matter, right? Which is great. Tons of value for the listeners, no doubt. But how is that actually like moving the needle in your business? So I would say flip the script a little bit and identify 12 people who could move the needle in your business and help you drive revenue this year, and interview them and do it as a very strategic networking opportunity where you're getting in front of somebody, you're doing an amazing intro, you're having an intelligent, passionate conversation about the topic that you're both interested in. You don't ask for anything. In the follow-up is when you ask for the ask. That's where you've created the runway and now you've created a relationship with somebody and you've the gift of reciprocity, right? You do a great intro, they're going to want to intuitively want to do something for you. Now you have an opportunity to create that relationship even further and go deeper. And so it doesn't matter if you get 5,000 downloads or five, because what you really wanted is a relationship with that person. And so it's a slightly different way of looking at it. It's quality versus quantity. So I would say from a branded podcast perspective, if you're strictly creating a podcast for your business, you know, then it should, the focus should be the guest and not the audience, which is, I understand, very counterintuitive to what a lot of people are saying. But at the end of the day, if you interview 12 people who you really want to do business with, that means they have big companies, they've found some success, you look up to them in some kind of way, they're an ideal client for you. If you have a great conversation with them, that's still providing value for your listener, but it's also creating even more value for you and your business.
Now, let me ask you this. I think what you highlighted brings my mind to, so I have one episode with like a bigger guest, right? What I mean is like, so I reached out to like one of the people that when I started podcasting, I don't want to say the name because I haven't released it yet. So when I started podcasting, there's one podcast that I looked up to as like, this is the gold standard of podcasting. So I reached out to this guy. He has, I think, like, you know, 5 million monthly downloads. And he was nice enough to come on the podcast. I recorded an episode and similar to like what we're doing right now. I just asked him about podcasting, right? And so that episode, I think, is like really good. I've just been sitting on it because like, I don't feel like my content, the rest of it, is up to that like same standard because he did such a good job. But the number two is like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, how do I actually like make the most out of that episode? Cause he has like, you know, he has a big following. He has people like he has, if I properly release it, I can probably, you know, get a big bump on that one. I have a couple questions here. So that's one. And then number two is like, how do I actually properly release that? Number two is like the follow-up question, the follow-up piece that you mentioned is like, what can the follow-up look like? Or if you were in this situation, you know, I feel like I developed good rapport with him. We went back and forth through email. We had a really good discussion. I don't know if he was just being nice, but I think he said he enjoyed it. And so like now it's like I've been sitting on it for a while. So I kind of also feel bad because it's like it's been almost like a year, a little bit over a year since I actually recorded it. When I do release it, like how do I actually, you know, how do I follow up? I think that's definitely like a question where I'm not quite clear. So the release and the follow up, like what do I do here? Walk me through this, Molly.
All right. Number one, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. You got to set that puppy free, man. It's not going to do you any good sitting in your Google Drive folder. You know what I mean? So that's that's the first step. I think, you know, the most important thing is identifying, you know, who is your ideal client and is that guy somebody who would hire you or does he have access to lots of people who would hire you? So is he specifically have a network of people that would be interested in hiring you? And did you make it very clear? So like I would take that content, chop it into shorts and say things like, you know, in this episode with insert famous person's name, we talked about how branded content can drive revenue and create strategic relationships. You know, if you'd like to talk about how that could be beneficial for your business, hit me up. Like it should, your CTA should always lead back to you. It should be very intuitive at the end of that episode that people know that, hey, I didn't realize I can hire you and you can do this work for me. So everything needs to kind of lead in that direction. And then the follow-up is very clearly, and ask, hey, insert famous person. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a marketing and branding person. And, you know, here's three case studies of my proudest work. You know, I would be honored if you would consider sharing this with your network. I'd be happy to pay you a referral fee. You know, whatever the ask is, but you got to ask for it. You know, if you don't ask, it's not going to be intuitive. A guy like that probably goes on 5 podcasts a week, right? That doesn't mean that they don't have any value to them, but you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? So he's going to forget all about that right away. So you got to follow up. And then you got to have the ask. It can't be vague. It can't be non-specific. Hey, can you share this on your network? That doesn't mean anything. If he's not co-signing you, he could share every single social media graphic and all the clips and everything else. But if he's not personally co-signing you, it doesn't mean anything. One referral from that person or one mention in their mastermind or one, you know, post on social media about how great your company is going to do a lot more than getting 100,000 downloads on that episode. And then in the episode at the end of your podcast, you know, it does it really clearly say, hey, what's up, world? This is Ahmed, and you can hire me to kick, you know, butt on all your branding. Like, are you making it very clear what you do and how people can very specifically hire you? Like, is the end of your podcast say, subscribe to me on iTunes? Or does it say, hey, do you want your logo to not suck? You can call me or whatever I'm sure that's not your branding, but, you know, it should be very, very clear. Like, man, this guy knows his chops. Like, I'm impressed with what he's talking about. And, whoa, I didn't realize I could hire him. I totally want to hire him. He speaks my language.
For my podcast, the outro, I just have the call to action as leave a review. But then on like when I post shorts and like reels and stuff like that on like my, Instagram and YouTube and stuff, I just have clips. It doesn't even like, there's no call to action there. And so I think that's one thing I got to figure out is like, so you're saying like, I just didn't want to be too like pushy, right? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, like here's a clip from a podcast. And then at the end, like, you know, ask them or to like, you know, sign up for a call or whatever. But sounds like you're saying like, you shouldn't be afraid to do that. Is that right?
Absolutely not. You know, one of my favorite podcasters, I don't listen anymore. I think he's kind of gone off the deep end or maybe ran out of guests, but Tom Bilyeu's Impact Theory. And I really modeled a lot of our podcast production around him when I got really hooked on his podcast, because he does these great intros and he does these great outros and it's pre-recorded. Hey, this is Tom Bilyeu with Impact Theory. Thank you so much for listening today. The greatest compliment that you can give me is by subscribing to this and sharing with your network. Thank you so much. The best way for me to keep amazing. I haven't listened to his podcast in like 2 years. I could literally spit his, I don't even know if he uses that outro anymore, but he did, right? He made it very, very clear at the end how you could support that. And after listening to a couple podcasts that really shook me, I was like, absolutely, Tom, I'll subscribe, buddy. No problem. The only problem with having people subscribe on iTunes is it's a dead end road. You're sending people down a dead end road, right? It's like, you know, like you cannot communicate with them. If you have 100 million subscribers on iTunes, the only way that you can communicate with them is through a podcast episode. It is a dead end one-way street. If you have subscribers on YouTube, you can at least post clips. It's like a social media network. You can post like actual posts, you know, like pictures and stories and, you know, shorts. You can actually communicate more. And if you get more downloads or views, you get more dollars in your bank account, you know. But really, everything should be going to your website. Everything should be going to your website. You need to know how many people are actually going to your website, what pages they're looking at. You should have a landing page with some sort of mechanism to capture their email address. You know, I think the metric is put on the value of a podcast based on how many downloads. And listen, if you get more than 200 downloads in the first 7 days, you're in the top 20%. If you get more than 400 downloads, you're in the top 10%. So, buddy, you're already in the top 10% of podcasts that are in existence right now. So your numbers are fantastic. You have a dedicated audience that could land you a really nice sponsorship deal. That's not some click, you know, CPC deal through Libsyn or something. Like, no, that's a relationship deal. That's a, hey, I have an active audience. You can sponsor the podcast, 8 episodes. It's, you know, 10 grand, whatever. You could absolutely do that. Right. But the value is going to be in getting those email addresses, making sure your CTA is on point, and making sure people understand that they can hire you. Because at the end of the day, isn't that kind of the whole point in doing this, is to get some visibility, get out there, let people know who you are and what you do?
Yeah. Now, in terms of like having like a lead magnet on the site and then getting email addresses, is it like, for me, another, like the reason why I haven't done that is because I've just been like, I don't have time to actually start doing a newsletter or like, you know, keeping up with the emails. So like I can push them to the site but then I can get their email address, but then I'm just going to like sit on them. So, I mean, how important is it to also have that kind of like, you know, email communication? Is it necessary or, you know, is there a way around it?
Unfortunately it is. And I feel you, it's like the last thing, but you know what I recently, myself was like, I need to be more consistent with this newsletter, but it's this daunting task. So I just started writing myself emails. Like when I'm in that driving down the road, whatever it is, in the bathtub, wake up in the morning, sitting in my bed, when I have that moment of what I want to talk about, I just transcribe it and send it as an email to myself or my assistant. And then she sends out an email and it just has a subject line and a body of text. And that's it. There's no pictures. There's no weekly recipe. There's no like fun tidbit from my, no, there's none of that. It's just a bunch of text. Hey, here's what I'm thinking about, right? Power of relationships, you know, why you should be creating branded content, you know, just little short bits. And you know what's happened? I went back to the United States 3 weeks ago. I was at this huge festival, 20,000 people. I saw thousands of people I know. I can't tell you how many people were like, yo, I've been reading your newsletter, man. I love reading it. It's so cool. I'm like, wow, actually people are reading it. Then I got a call the other day from a client who I did was on a panel with before the pandemic. She said, I've been getting your emails are really great. I want to start a podcast. I'll be ready in 3 weeks. That's 10 grand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's all because of that newsletter. So I would say that there's more. When you talk about the juice being worth the squeeze, right? If you could carve out 1 hour of the time you're spending on producing the podcast and allocate it towards, you know, doing that follow-up work instead, I think you would yield a lot more results, aka discovery calls, lead generation, and actual clients.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, sometimes you gotta, I think I've been trying to find ways to avoid it, but I think you just gotta do it. Now, like, it sounds like you're saying you can just, you don't necessarily, do you also push your podcast or like your content that you're creating through that newsletter, or is it completely separate? Just like your, you know, just a quick email thoughts kind of thing.
Sometimes I do. I should be more consistent about it. Like, here's the last episode. You can check it out kind of thing. It's a good reminder to do that, you know? But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Your newsletter could just be, hey, new podcast episode out. Talked with, you know, Molly Rowland about the power of podcasting. And it really got me thinking about my podcast. So I'm excited to make some new changes. So stay tuned, y'all. By the way, what are you working on this week? I mean, it could literally be that simple, because at the end of the day, I think that the marketing you put out is going to attract the clients that you want. So if you're putting these elaborate, long-winded things, you're going to get clients who want that stuff. That ain't my scene. I'm not trying to do all that. I don't like these LinkedIn posts that look like dissertations. Like, why are you giving me so much work to do, man? You know, a space between every sentence. I don't know who came up with this new style of writing, but it's exhausting for a brain like mine. I just want to drop something in your head real quick. Whatever I was thinking about, I want you to think about it too. Here's a cool episode. I'll see you next week. And I think that people that resonate with that are going to want to work with me. And they're my kind of people, because I don't need all that other stuff. And neither do they. So we find each other in a crowded room and we're like, hey, yeah. It's like when I go to networking events, I always find a couple people that are like, this is so crazy. That was good with that guy, you know, and then now they're people who I'm doing business with, right? You find each other. So create content that speaks to the people you want to do business with. So there's no rules. Your newsletter doesn't have to be weekly. It doesn't have to have six elements. It doesn't have to be personal on Monday and this on Tuesday. There are no rules.
Another thing I wanted to, you know, ask you about, is this like tools and different like maybe software or like things you use to actually create content? And then also like, let's start with that. I don't want to give you too many questions at the same time. I feel like I've been doing that. We were talking about Opal, your webcam before we kind of hopped on. I saw an ad for this one. I think Casey Neistat also kind of like endorsed it. And I was like, oh, this looks interesting. But just want to get your feedback and your thoughts on it. Like, is it worth it? Should I get it? Should I, is it noticeable the difference?
For sure. I mean, if you look at some of the podcasts I did in the last like month before I plugged this thing in, like I'm super dark. It's like the background is too bright. I'm just washed out. Like it's a night and day difference. So, you know, the quality in which you present yourself is the quality in which you're going to be received. And so I think everybody should have a microphone. Everybody. I think that if you have a company and you have people that do sales or represent you in any way, like, go buy them a microphone. Like, we're all doing so much business online, and like a nice soft voice closes a lot more deals than a, you know, Zoom tuna can call, right? And the same thing with high quality audio or video. I think that if you really want to stand out, if you want people to take a second look, I think it's important to have high quality. Most importantly, if you're creating content for your business, I don't think that you can do anything but high quality, because it's a representation of your business. You know, like if I had a podcast about how much I hate fish or something, then it wouldn't really matter, you know, not like the in the ocean, like the band, or, you know, or like if I just had some random passion projects, it wouldn't matter. But it's representing my business, so it has to be high quality.
What about like are there any like software tools? Like, I know there's a lot of like AI tools that are out there now. Like, I've used personally, I've used Descript a little bit for like transcribing. But like, honestly, I couldn't get the. For me, it was a little bit of like, I'm just used to editing the old school way so much that like the text editing was a little bit tough for me to kind of get used to. But for transcripts, it was pretty good. And then, you know, like, of course, people are all the always talking about ChatGPT and what you can do with that. So just curious to see, like, are there any tools you're using in your content creation that I can kind of just steal from you?
100%. I even have an affiliate link. So the newest one that I'm really excited about is called Cast Magic. And it, you can drop your video in and it'll do the transcription, all the titles, the key takeaways, the keywords, it literally will save you $1 million this year and 100,000 hours in editing and post-production. So I'll make sure to give you that link and include it in our show notes here. But huge that sounds fan. Great. Yeah, it's like AI. It's just, you know, the hardest thing about producing a podcast is doing all the metadata properly, and a lot of people get that wrong because it's just SEO. It's an opportunity to load your website up and your videos up with SEO. And so, for example, this is a good one. Like, in looking at your podcast, you have them numbered. Get rid of those numbers immediately. You're killing your SEO. The first four characters of every single one of your podcasts are numbers and digits. You're destroying your SEO. There's absolutely no value in numbering your podcast whatsoever. Right? Discoverability versus searchability. There, if you want someone to easily be able to go back and find the episode that they wanted because it's numbered, that's really great customer service, except they already listened to your podcast. They will figure it out. It's in chronological order. It's more important to be discoverable, right? Versus searchable. You want people to find you. So SEO, your episode titles, like, they should say things like writing effectively is really good with Scott Kaiser, but I would go a little deeper about like how to write sales copy that'll make you a millionaire with Scott Kaiser. It just needs to be like, has whatever, you know, if he's doing sales copy, if he's doing whatever, you need to use those words in the title. Right. And same thing with the episode description. It should really say things like, we're talking, do you hate sales? Well, Scott Kaiser doesn't. And he's going to teach you how to write the best content ever. That's going to close deals and convert customers and all those words, you know, win rate and double your tender win rate and all 15 persuasive writing techniques. You load that whole description up with that, with Ahmed on Branding Deep Dive. That goes at the end because it's SEO. This is all domain authority, YouTube, second largest search engine in the world, your website, that's all SEO. So a tool like Cast Magic will just do it for you because it's AI and it's pulling out the keywords and then it's writing titles based on those keywords. In 4 minutes, right? So you could even go in and retool all of your old episodes and rename them. And you'd probably see, especially on YouTube, you would see a bump in your views for sure. Another fantastic tool is TubeBuddy. I have a link for that as well. So I'll make sure you have that. That will optimize your YouTube videos for SEO. So it'll help you get your SEO score to over 90, and it'll show you the tags and weighted tags and everything else. And it'll give you the dashboard. So if you open up somebody else's YouTube videos, you can see all their tags, all their content, all their traffic, everything. It's like peeking behind the curtain, and it gives you all these tutorials and events you can do to really optimize your YouTube channel. Huge fan of that. It's like $25 a month or something like that, but it's totally worth it. And of course, they're implementing all kinds of AI tools as well. And so it's just getting better and better all of the time.
Now, in terms of like hiring people, I don't know, like for me, I mean, I don't have like the biggest budget. I'm you know, willing to spend some money, but not like, you know, I can't probably hire a full-time editor in the States. And so I wanted to get your take on hiring, right? Like, how do you, like, what are the, like, when you're making a podcast or any, like, let's just say video production of any sort, like, what are the hires that you generally, or like, what kind of work do you outsource to other people? And where do you find talented people at an affordable rate?
Well, it's a global market. So that's the number one thing is don't be afraid to seek employees in other countries because you can pay a lot less money. It's super important to pay people living wages for wherever they live. And so you should really become familiar with like what is the highest or what is the salary range for, you know, whatever position and whatever city and country that you're looking in to make sure that you're paying people fairly. But I think the number one rule is like take the straightest path to the money. So which one of those pieces of the work would make you the most money and takes you the most amount of time? So for me, after the first hire I made was an audio engineer. The second one was a video editor because I knew the video editor could do other things. They could edit panel discussions and webinars and YouTube ads for me and any other video content. So I knew that I could like multitask that person. And I don't want to spend my time video editing. So that was very, very clear to me. So I would say like, number one, lean in on AI. Find all the tools that you can, like Cast Magic, Game Changer. You don't need a show notes writer. You don't need anything. Right. They'll do the transcription too. So you just eliminated a whole bunch of stuff. Now all you need to do is edit the audio and the video. Right. I would hire somebody that could do that. But what I would also do is find how you can hire somebody who can do other things for your other business. So what are you doing in your real business that an audio and video editor could be beneficial for? Could they make you YouTube and Facebook ad videos? Could they make you website videos? Could they help you? Whatever. But really optimize and maximize their time. Because the general rule is that, you know, if you can hire somebody to take that time off your plate and they can cover their own expenses, then they've more than paid for themselves. And if you give somebody part-time work, they're going to have to go find part-time work elsewhere to cover that gap. So if you can find somebody and offer them full-time stable employment, every week they get a check no matter what, and they don't have to look other places, then they can do a ton of stuff for you. You just can't expect them to do your social media and update your website and edit the audio and edit the video, which is what a lot of people want and expect from somebody is manage my podcast from top to bottom. Well, that's not really the best use of that person. You're better off hiring a video editor and getting real creative with how many other videos that editor could make for you other than your podcast. So I would say look for full-time, look for a global employee because for $500 to $900 a month, you can get a full-time video and audio editor.
I've used like Fiverr and Upwork. Is there like any best practices you have on, you know, finding good people or, you know, how do you actually go through that process?
Yes. Don't use Fiverr or Upwork. That's the number one. They're super predatory. They really take advantage of a lot of people. It's not living wage. It's not good at all. I use a company called onlinejobs.ph and it's a Filipino directory, but there's people from all over the world there, India, Vietnam, everywhere. The platform has grown significantly since I discovered it. I read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss like 4 years ago. And I was like, I'm going to find the new version of that. And I found them and I've hired a lot of my employees through there. They've been with me for years. I've had positive experiences. There's people there with degrees and MBAs. I mean, it's insane the level of high quality and educated people that are available in the global marketplace for $900 a month.
Yeah, so I haven't heard of this site, so I'm gonna check it out. Yeah. I don't know. We've kind of turned this into a personal consulting call for myself.
But, I know, right?
Let's talk about you a little bit. What can you explain for the audience and myself? What Heartcast Media is, how you got started in this space, and you know, like what kind of clients you work with, and how you kind of help them.
For sure. So I've owned a multimedia company for 23 years. I owned a business in Washington, D.C. for 19 years that supported community through art, music, and culture, and managed 160 artists, had a three-story building, built multiple podcast studios, recording studios, live music stage, retail stores, like the whole bit. And just hit a point where I just didn't want to do that anymore. 2018, I closed that business down and formed Heartcast Media that was really focused on B2B. So creating branded content that drives revenue and creates strategic relationships. So taking 20 plus years of marketing and grassroots and no money and very creative event planning, content creation, audio and video, studio building, all that, and parlayed that into something to service it, businesses and brands, nonprofits, government agencies. So we're a DC based business. I live in Costa Rica thanks to the pandemic, but the business is based in DC. So a lot of our clients, I mean, we range from authors and coaches to DC government, Department of Health, NATO, the UN. We just did a project for the UN recently. So, you know, we're producing online learning modules. We're producing branded content for the Atlantic Council. We do a bunch of podcasts. So we have a podcast for Spencer Haywood, who's a former NBA player. So we're producing kind of a wide array of content, but it all has a very, very polished, very highly produced, very SEO heavy, you know, slant. So, you know, the biggest push is the strategy sessions with me and the clients to really dial in on the goalposts. What does that look like? Who are we interviewing? Why? How to support that content? How to create that runway? And then executing on all of that for them.
I know in the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, like since after the pandemic, we've seen a little bit of a decline in the number of people that are, number of podcast downloads that generally, and number of new podcast entrants that are kind of coming into the market as well. Now, from your perspective, are you still seeing like a good number of people coming in, and is the money still there? Like for the people that are creating now, is this a good time to create still, or, you know, do you have a different perspective on that?
I think that, you know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, then you have to be like a, you know, a reed in the wind. You have to be able to bend and sway like the tallest tree in my yard. You know, you got to be able to take the wind. And so it's a different market right now. We're in an economic downturn. And so for us, we expanded our offerings a little bit. Like we produce audiobooks and websites, but we recently offered short form video into our mix of services. And we've been creating a lot of subscription agreements with clients. We're noticing that people, instead of hiring somebody full time, they just engage with Heartcast Media for 3 months. We create a punch list of the things they want done. They get all of that work done. They get, you know, website editing done. They get all of this stuff done. And there's no way one employee could have checked all those boxes for them. So they find it cheaper and easier and more effective to hire us for a few months or for the year on a contract, you know, retainer basis. And then we just get everything done for them, testimonial videos, whatever. So I think expanding your offerings a little bit, and like, don't try to do too much, right? My best advice for business owners is don't try to do too much, or creators or podcast producers. Stay within your lane, but think about what you're doing. Because if you're editing a video podcast, you could edit a testimonial video. It's the exact same process. It's really, you know, if somebody did a webinar, you could edit that for them too. Like, it's the same process. So I would say don't pivot. Don't try to do something new, but think about how deep you can go within your offerings and expand on that and try to, you know, really go deep with your clients and do more with them. I think you can make more money by having services that people want to come back to. And then people, a lot of our clients say, oh, you do websites too. Oh, we want to get our website done. Oh, you do that too? I didn't realize that. You know, once they like you and trust you, then they're going to, of course, punt you that other business too. So I think in order to survive in this current market, you have to be, you can't really be a one trick pony. I think you need to be able to offer a little bit more services, and you have to be very vocal. It's a rough market out there. You got to be constantly, like, you know, marketing yourself. You got to be saying at the end of your podcast that people can hire you. You got to let people know.
In terms of, like, you mentioned, like, there's a punch list of things that, like, you know, clients can just hire you out for a subscription service. Can you give an example of, like, a punch list that, like, someone like me, right? So, like, already have podcast that's kind of up and running. It's not optimized for SEO. There's definitely a lot of opportunity in terms of website and a lot of the other content around the podcast, right? Like the written form, titles, you know, everything. So like for someone like me, what are, you know, like what's like an example package that you guys might be able to do?
For somebody like you, what I would do is I would do, number one, a strategy session and just do a little housekeeping, maybe do a branding package, like create some more assets and templates for you so that you could market this show a little bit, you know, reach a few more people that way. And then I would try to figure out where to shorten your production process, like show you how to use Cast Magic, you know, maybe do a strategy session and a production session to show you how to like tighten up your system, create a system for you to work in to manage the projects. I would say making sure that your website is up to par and making sure that you have like the right plugin installed so your podcast episodes are automatically going on your website, creating the system so that like a pop-up exists and you're getting the emails, like making sure, because that's kind of the first question that I ask people is like, okay, well, are you set up for traffic? You know, if you got a million hits on something tomorrow and they all came to your website, what would happen? Do you have any way to know who was there and engage with them? Do you have anything there, right? So you got to think about what happens if you land the fish, right? It's like putting the best piece of bait on the end of your fishing line. But if you don't have the little thing on the end of your pole to reel it in, it doesn't really matter, right? So I would say taking a look at your website, optimizing that, doing the strategy session, the production session, and then sending you back out on your way, maybe giving you some, you know, tips and strategies on how to use your short form content, maybe helping you with hire somebody. So with you, it would probably look a little different as like an independent person. With a larger company, what we're seeing a lot of is they want to start a podcast. So it's very specific. So I'm a big fan of like, let's do 12 episodes. Let's do a contract for 12. You don't need to record every week for a year or in perpetuity. Identify 12 people you want to do business with this year and interview them. That's it. Quality over quantity, right? Number two, let's get you booked on a bunch of podcasts. We also do podcast booking, right? Because I know I booked artists. I managed 160 artists for over 10 years. I can do some podcast booking, no problem. We have a great database. So that's on the mix. A lot of them have terrible websites that need to be updated and modernized because, you know, every website needs to be rebuilt like every year or two. That's just how we are right now. If your website's 3 years old, it looks like it was made by the Flintstones at this point because everything is moving so fast. I mean, truly, you know, and then the last thing is a short form video where we pull people into a studio session. We ask them 10 SEO and search volume optimized questions, and then we create 10 short form videos. But we ask them questions that are what people are actually looking for answers for and not what they think. So like clients will come to us and say, oh, I did this panel discussion last year. Can you go through and pull all the clips? And I always say like, no, because what you were talking about last year is not relevant. And I'm not going to go through an hour's worth of content to find one clip that may or may not be good. I'd rather pull you into my studio for 30 minutes, ask you 10 questions, let you drop 10 gems, edit them, polish them, give them back. Now you've got a month's worth of high quality branded video content for your social media channels. And all you had to do was give me 30 minutes, right? So it's about smarter, not harder, saving people's time, helping them with their production. So people tend to be interested in all those things. So then I'll say, okay, well, 12 episodes in the setup of your podcast is this. The website work would be this. The podcast booking is this. And then X for this. So that's X amount of dollars. We can divide it by three, do a 3 month sprint, create a punch list, timelines, knock it all out. And then at the end of that, what happens is the clients say, we love working with you. We're just going to extend. And then we just keep it moving. And now we're editing their webinars or creating their testimonial videos, or, you know, they're finding other ways to put our services to work, especially now that we have all their branding and everything like under our roof. We know exactly how to communicate with their audience. And so it works really well.
Now, Molly, for the audience that wants to follow you or get in touch with you, you know, where can they find you, and how can they get in touch to work with you?
For sure. So heartcastmedia.com is the best place to go. We've got a great content quiz, you know, to see how good your content really is right there on the website. The contact forms, you can certainly look me up on social media, you know, Molly Roland. If you're interested in Costa Rica and my life here, I've got a personal Instagram account for people who like puppies and palm trees. That's a good place to go. But for business stuff, Heartcast Media is the best place to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Molly.
Now, as always, I have my key takeaways from this episode, but before we get into that, I want to share a clip with you from our discussion with Jordan Harbinger on becoming a world-class podcast host.
There's a lot of people on YouTube that will say something like, your job is not to talk. You're talking too much. You should have just shut your mouth and let Robert Greene or whoever it is speak. And I'm thinking, no, you obviously have no idea how to conduct an interview. I'm not a journalist who's trying to get Edward Snowden to tell us what he knows. I'm having a conversation. This is a conversational podcast. Your personality in a podcast or interview type scenario, conversation type scenario, it's entertainment. And it's also you as a creator. You're co-creating this with your guest. And so if you don't have any input, you're commoditizing your product.
If you enjoyed this discussion with Molly, you will definitely love the episode with Jordan. Check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. It is episode number 60. Now, here are my key takeaways. Number one, your audience isn't the only way to monetize. Think about bringing on guests that can be strategic partners or potential clients. Develop a relationship, provide value, then make the ask. And number two, optimize your titles for discoverability, not searchability. I put the episode numbers in my titles for the longest time because I wanted my listeners to be able to go back and quickly find the episodes I was referencing. But it's more important to hook new listeners with your title than it is to make it searchable for your existing listeners. And that is all for this episode. If you enjoyed this discussion, the easiest way you can help out is to go to YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're really pushing to grow the channel right now. We have shorter case study videos, and it doesn't cost a thing to subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next episode.